Now, this is a military term, right? When you find out what someone's rank is, you find out whether you need to salute or not, right? Whether you need to obey that order or not, right? And as Christians, we've got to recognize the position that we just automatically get when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives. And the reason why we're going into this is because we're in a season where believers need to take their authority and operate in it. Amen? Because the enemy wants to knock people around. He wants to reap and wreak confusion and division and strife. He wants to do that. But I'm telling you, as believers, we need to wake up to the position and authority that we have. Now, I want to tell you something about being a pastor of a church, right? There's some things that I want to convey and get into you that are important. One is I want you guys to get so strong in your faith and in the Word of God that even if I went absolutely crazy and off the rails, you would still stay firm in your belief in Christ Jesus and who God is. Come on, you know churches have been lost because the pastor just went nuts and ran off with the secretary and took all the money and went to Mexico? It's happened. And they go crazy, and the church just, they don't know what to do. I'm telling you, I want you to be so full of the Word of God, so full of the Spirit of God, that even if I went nuts, and I'm not going nuts, I'm as sane as I'm going to get. But even if I did, you would just say, well, bless his darling heart and his stupid head. I'm still serving God, no matter what. Amen? So that you don't go off the rails when some of your high-end church folks make bad decisions. Because guess what? We're going to see more of it before Jesus comes back. People, we thought, how in the world did they get off? We cannot let that faze us. We know who we are in Christ. Amen? And part of that's knowing our authority. Who we are, who he's destined us to be, and walking in it. Did you know you can have an authority and not use it? You can be walking around with all the authority in the world, and if you don't know how to operate in it and use it, it will do you no good. Yeah? So we got to learn these things as believers. Because there's stuff going on in our lives that ought not be, that we need to take authority over as believers and say, no, this stops today. Amen? To not be superstitious Christians. Oh, all bad things comes in threes. Let's be looking around the next corner. Come on! Do you know what superstition means in the Bible? Witchcraft. God's not superstitious. He hasn't been wearing the same socks for 2,000 years. Just, woo, we're almost there, Jesus. Come on, we're supposed to live above that. Amen? Amen. I want you to be so self-sufficient and independent in your pursuit of God that you will never abandon church. Come on, you've got to be self-sufficient in your pursuit of God. If this is the only food you get during the week, you're missing out on the flow and the relationship you can have with the creator of planets and stars. He wants to know you personally and talk to you personally and reveal things to you personally. Part of my job is to introduce you to him and then show you how to walk on your own. Amen? Because then you're not fazed when the world goes nuts, right? And you're not fazed when your favorite minister goes crazy. You're just like, I'm serving God. I know how this thing ends. And if we stay faithful, if we just don't quit, we win. Just don't quit, we win. Amen? And then I want to teach you how to serve and duplicate yourself. Serve and duplicate yourself. Jesus said, make disciples. So you learn how to follow God, and you learn it so strong in yourself that now you're teaching your children, and you're teaching your neighbor, right? And you're teaching your coworker. This is what it looks like to follow God. This is what it looks like to deny self, to lay some stuff aside that I like to do, that my flesh likes to do. And I'm not going to do that anymore because the pursuit of God is worth it. Showing discipline and making disciples. Come on, that's what we're called to do. That's part of my job, to make sure you're strong and equipped. That's why we got to preach milk. The Bible calls it milk of the word and meat of the word. Amen? You can live on milk for a while. Did you know that? Mom, there's mamas nursing babies till they are 4 years old. 48 months. Lord Jesus, help us. But you know, you can live on milk for a while, but you won't be strong. At some point, you've got to take in some sustenance, right? Something that's going to give you some strength and some ability to build and to grow, right? So you got to have both. Milk's good to wash down some steak. But you got to have the steak and the potatoes too, you know? So it's important. God's teaching us. He's helping us. We're all getting something. Amen? Thank you, Lord. We have to view our position in the kingdom of God as our Father views us. When we are born again, the very earliest, youngest Christian among us just got saved yesterday. You have the same authority as somebody who's been doing it for 50, 60 years. Same authority in the kingdom. Why? I'm going to show you why. Because we've been raised up and seated in heavenly places with Christ. That's our position of authority. And if we don't recognize it, we won't operate in it. And we'll let the world knock us around, and we'll let the devil knock us around and tell us, oh, see, if you'd have been better, if you'd have dealt with that stuff in your life, if you'd have dealt with it, then this wouldn't be happening to you, and God's punishing you. That's a crock. God doesn't punish us like that. He disciplines us. He chastens us as a good father. Means he gets our attention with what? Well, not with cancer and not with car wrecks. Come on, that's baloney. No good father does that. But he will get our attention. Amen? So that we can make some corrections and do some things better than we have been doing them in the past. Yeah? But we can operate in authority. We can recognize this is not from God. And if it's not from God, where's this attack coming from? Where is this circumstance that is causing me or testing me or tempting me to lose my peace and my joy? Who brings me that? It isn't my Heavenly Father. So there's only one other solution. The enemy in the world using people sometimes to be rascals and not heads to try to steal your joy, take your peace. Do you know nobody can do that? Nobody can take your joy or your peace. You have to submit that. Yeah? Remember the disciples in the jail? Just been beaten badly. They're singing praises to God. Not because they thought that was going to produce an earthquake and deliver them out of prison, but because they loved God and saw the joy in what they had just experienced, that this is nothing compared to what we're going to receive, the crown of righteousness in heaven before our Lord and Savior. Let's worship him. And that power, that anointing that flowed in them as they sang before the Lord when it was bleak and dark and dank. Come on, they don't have room service in jails in the Roman prisons. It's grody in there. And they're singing, thank you, Lord. You're still good to me. You're still on the throne. Heaven's still my home. Amen? That takes some guts and some gumption and some fortitude in somebody that knows God. Come on, what situation are you in? What are you facing? What are you looking at? How is your response? Are you submitting your joy or are you using your joy? The joy of the Lord is our? It's our strength. Amen? There's more to this than just flesh and blood. Physically feeding and living out this life. Come on, there's a spiritual world that we live in, we're a part of. It's who we are. We can tap into. Yay? Thank you, Lord. Have I told you recently about the time I got caught smoking by my mother? Technically, I wasn't smoking. I was just holding a lit cigarette, just to be totally clear about the situation. And I apologize, Sam, guys, in advance, because I have to tell the story with an elevated voice. So just be prepared. So they're doing road work in front of my parents' house, and there's equipment all over the place, graders and dump trucks and bulldozers and all this stuff. And as an inquisitive boy that I was checking out this equipment. I was looking at it, looking at all this stuff, and there was a pack of cigarettes in one of the graders. And I thought, well, I've never held one of those before, so I just took one out of the pack and went home. Found myself a little match, was on the back deck, you know, like Dean Martin, you know, in a cool movie, leaning on the rail, lit that baby up, was holding it just like this. And lo and behold, my mother came out the back door. Are you smoking? Are you smoking? Technically, no. I was just holding it, thinking about what it would be like, but I am not smoking technically. I just lit it because I wanted to know what it felt like. She was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's my mom. Okay. Where did you get the cigarette? I took it out of that grater. You stole it! You stole it! Yes, I stole it. I stole it. So I went back. Back then, I think a cigarette was like a dime. Put a dime in his carton so he would have it back, make it right. But, I responded to my mom in that way because she had authority over me. And I knew if I didn't acquiesce, if I didn't repent real, real quick, she had the authority to rain down fire and it would not have been from heaven. And so I just backpedaled like crazy, right? And so what you have to understand is that the enemy will push boundaries with you, and he will push up against what you call right and wrong, and he will cause things to happen. And until you step out and go, "What are you doing? Get out of here! You can't be here!" He will just keep hanging out and keep causing problems. I'm telling you what: you hang around cigarettes long enough, you're gonna hold it, and then you're gonna pull it in, and then and you got a habit going. True. Come on now. The enemy wants to get you stuck in some stuff. We got to recognize we have authority to kick him out. Amen. Kick this junk out of our lives. We can. We got to take the authority. We got to exercise the authority. Amen? It's important. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You guys doing okay? God is good. He's helping us. This will help you your whole life. Knowing and recognizing when you need to take authority. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, what I want to go into, just real, real brief, is that I want to talk about the Ephesians prayers. The Ephesians prayers. Now, there's two prayers Paul prays over the church, and he prays them in Ephesians 1, and it bleeds into Ephesians 2, and he prays them in Ephesians 3. And these are critical prayers, and we're going to read them and go through them today so that you understand this is a prayer you should be praying for yourself and for your loved ones every single day. You guys ready? Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 16, Ephesians 1, 16. He says this, Paul's saying, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And here he starts, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now listen, what we're going to learn in the next few weeks about the believer's authority, you have to have revelation from the Spirit of God to understand this. Because if you just pack this into your brain as knowledge, it will not work for you. The Word of God works when it's revelation from your spirit and you understand it. And you cannot get the understanding of this unless the Holy Spirit helps you do that. So you've got to be open to it. You've got to say, "God, I need to know this. I need to understand this." Now, praying this prayer for you will help open up the Scripture to you. Do you know that? You will begin to see things praying this prayer that you have not seen before. But it has to be revelation. It cannot be. We got lots and lots and lots of Christians with lots of knowledge. They can quote books of the Bible, but they're lacking revelation because they don't know to yield to the Holy Spirit and let him show them and direct them and guide them through the Word. Amen? He's praying this, "that the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling." Come on, that's shout-worthy right there. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of my calling. "What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness," watch this, "of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Come on, there's some power that's toward us, in us, and through us to the world. God's mighty power working in us. This is the beginning of what we're going to see of the authority that God has given the church to operate and function in the earth. Amen? Amen? To not put up with the devil's junk, to steamroll him every single day. I think every single one of us should be Christians that make the devil quake in his boots when you wake up. "Oh, Jessica woke up again. Can't she just sleep a little longer today?" Because every time she gets up, she starts praising and thanking the Lord, praying in the Holy Ghost. She loves Jesus, and now she's just wrecking all my plans. Come on. I want to be his worst nightmare in the daytime. Amen? The only rest he gets is when I'm sleeping. And if he dares wake me up in the middle of the night, it's on, Donkey Kong, because I'm going to pray and I'm going to sing and you're going to wish you never woke me up. Amen? Amen? Worst nightmare. That's who we should be for the enemy. Worst nightmare. Christians that know who they are. Christians that love Jesus. Christians that aren't ashamed of who he is and his name. Come on now. That takes some gumption. It takes some wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So you can see what we're really up against. What we're really doing in this life. To bring about the kingdom of God. Amen? Oh, what the exceeding greatness of his power. Verse 19. Toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked. Now, come on. It's according to the working of his power, which he already worked. Works past tense. He did this in Christ, which he worked in Christ when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Come on, where's Jesus? Where's he at? He's at the right hand. That's the most important place in the kingdom. It's next to the king, the Father. He's right there, right hand. That's your right hand. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated. Seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Come on, these principalities and powers, these are the rulers of darkness in this age. There is a God, little g, of this world, the Bible says, is the enemy. How did he get that position? Adam gave it to him when he committed treason. When he sinned against God, he handed the lease of this planet over to the enemy. The devil is God, little g, of this planet right now. That's why it's in havoc. God is not causing this havoc. He is working through those who believe in the name of Jesus to bring about his kingdom once again. But in this season, in this age, until the lease runs out, Adam's lease, original lease, until that lease runs out, the devil is the God, little g, of this world. He is not the God of us. He has no authority over us. We're not of this world. We're not of this kingdom anymore. When we're born again and we serve the Lord, we are not of this world anymore. Our kingdom is heaven. Amen? And Jesus is our king. And we receive instruction from him. That means we are no longer subject to the order and the rule and authority of the enemy. Only what we allow. And you can allow it by default. By just not knowing. Come on, how many stories do we know where the enemy just whooped somebody because they didn't know? They were doing everything they knew to do was right. But they just didn't know. You have authority. Why are you listening to this? Why are you repeating the whispers into your heart and into your spirit? Why are you repeating what he's saying to you? That's not what we're supposed to repeat as humans. We repeat this. What God has spoken to us through his word. That's what we say. Do you see what I mean? When you just don't know, you don't know. You heard the phrase, ignorance is bliss? It's not bliss. It's costly. It's painful. Ignorance hurts. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he, God, put all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. How much can you get done without your head? Fertilizer is the best thing I can give you right there. You need to be connected to your head. Amen? Therefore, Jesus needs to be connected to the body. Yay? He did his work. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. He needs the church to do their job. His hands and his feet. Amen? That's us. That means we carry the same weight. Listen to me. We carry the same weight and authority as the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. We are his body. When he gives us direction and we carry it out, it carries the same authority as if he carried it out in the flesh here. And more so, because he can do more when he's there and we're here. Because the Holy Spirit's in us, amen? Come on, we're just going to keep circling back around to this so we understand. What is our rank? You are not a private anymore. You are ranking up. Come on now. You have a position of authority. And you know authority only works when you're under authority? Did you know that? Everybody reports to somebody. Yay? captains only have an authority when they are under their authority. And generals and one stars and two stars, come on, colonels, they have authority because they're under authority. And it works. So we're under authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have authority. Because if there's any question about us exercising our authority, we can say, talk to Jesus. He's already won this. Amen? Do you see how this changes how we handle stuff and how we view things and how we take care of our business? I mean, come on now. When we understand our position and our authority, we put up with a lot less garbage in our lives. Turn over to chapter 3. You doing okay? Come on, I see smoke coming out of wheel or out of ears, just like cooking, like wheels are turning, and people are like, oh boy, just hang with me. Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason, this is the second prayer, Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man. Come on, that's powerful. You are strengthened through his Spirit in your inner man. What's lacking in that? I'll give you the answer. It's nothing. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that possible? He said it. What is God lacking? Who doesn't listen when God says go? When God says do? Who doesn't? I mean, he's all powerful. Amen? And he's saying if we will honor him and be full of the love of Christ, we'll be filled with the fullness of God. Come on, he needs us to do our job in the earth. Amen? Now to him, verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Come on, everybody say that, exceedingly abundantly. Come on, that's way over the top, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. That means we have a responsibility in this to allow the power of God to work in us. Did you know you can shut down the power of God in your life? Yep. You can shut it down because he's not going to force you. He will not make you take your authority. He will not make you serve him. He will not make you come to him. He will not make you worship. We have free will. And we can shut down the power of God. However, we can also open it up. Full on, valve wide open, drinking from the fire hose, baby. Come on, bring it all on. Amen? This is the church we're called to be in the last of the last days, to go after everything God has for us. Come on, lay every weight, every sin behind. Just lay it all down. Say, okay, God, let's do this. Let's go get it. Come on, and it's different for all of us. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that's working in us. Thank you, Lord. This is going to help us. Amen? It's going to help us. Thank you, Lord. We have to get this from the Holy Spirit. It's so important. Turn back to chapter 2 real quick. Chapter 2. Now, you know when they wrote the Bible that Paul didn't write in chapter and verse. Did you guys figure that out? He wrote a letter, and then later on, for reference sake, we added chapters and verses so that I can say, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you know you can go find it, right? Instead of, okay, 13th paragraph of the Ephesian letter, right where the little squiggly thing is on the far right side. You know, it's way easier this way. You see that? So while he's writing this letter, he doesn't have a pause in his process and his thought. He's continuing to write as he finishes the first Ephesian prayer, and he's rolling into Ephesians chapter 2. So let's back up to verse 22 of Ephesians 1. And it says this, he put all things under his feet and he gave him to be head, that's Jesus, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Say, that's me. Come on, you were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. We were all there. Come on, we were all there. And he saved us and he delivered us. Amen? But God, everybody say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places where? Come on, in Christ Jesus. Where are we seated? Spiritually speaking, authoritatively speaking, where are we seated? In heavenly places with Christ. Come on, he's far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and that's where you are. Do you see this? Amen. This is game changing. Come on now, because we stop putting up with the garbage anymore. We can take authority in our lives and in our families. Did you know that? When Andrew Womack's son died, he died of an overdose. They got the call, and he'd been dead for 5 hours. Toe tag on. And they got the call, and guess what they did first? They rebuked death in the power of the enemy, first thing. We rebuked death. Oh, where is your sting? You've been defeated. We rebuke death in Jesus' name. Our son shall live and not die. You know, that's not an easy thing to say unless your heart's prepared for it, when you've got the call that they're already dead. And the morgue knows how to tell. They don't make mistakes. Right? And you got to say something in that moment that's going to change the situation. He said, that's all we did. We took authority over the enemy and over the power of death and said, nope, not today, Satan. And then they worshiped God all the way there. Couple hour drive. Guess what? Their son's alive. He raised from the dead. Come on, this is in the Bible. This shouldn't be like, wow. That should be like, yeah, that's exactly right. That's how it works. Come on, somebody that knows who God is and know who their commitment is and know what their authority is. Yeah? What are we going to do when you get a call? God needs some, he needs some believers that just know who their God is. Raising the dead is nothing for him. He makes planets and stars. He raised up every single believer that would ever call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the moment he raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says it was his most great exhibition of his power ever. He flexed like never before. And that's beyond creation and universe and human beings and animals and seas and mountains. He flexed, God says, he exerted his mighty weight and power when he raised Christ from the dead. He was showing off because he raised us all. He saw us all raised with him to new life. What a defeat over the enemy that was. Just an overwhelming whooping. Come on, it was great. We're going to get to see what that looks like when we get to heaven. Come on now, that might be the first film we watch. Yes, that's our victory won right there. Amen? It's one of those movies where you know the good guy's going to win, and you're watching him get beat, and you're watching him go to the cross, and you're, but we win. Just hang on. Don't quit now. Amen? Something's got to rise up in us. Well, we've got some gumption. Amen? And we'll just say, no, I am not putting up with this. There's things in our lives right now. Come on. God is like revealing stuff to you right now. There's things in your life right now you've been putting up with for too long. God wants you to see your authority, take it, and overcome the enemy. The enemy's already defeated. You know, all you have to do is show up and not quit and you win. That's it. Just be dogmatic about it. I'm not leaving. I win this one. I stay in this fight. I win. I'm staying. I'm going to keep using my words. I'm going to keep using my faith. I'm going to keep declaring the word of God, and this will change. because the enemy's already beat. Just hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. Come on. He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding great riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. We're going to be seeing this forever. God is going to show us his riches of his grace forever. Look what I did. Look what I did for you. Look what I did for you. Come on, it's powerful. Amen? We can live our lives and never once take authority. Did you know that? Still go to heaven. Still love Jesus. Come on, not in this church. Come on, we got devil-stomping Christians in this church that people just recognize that's garbage and I'm not putting up with it anymore. Amen? Not in my house, not in my town, not in my state. Amen? God is good. God is good. There's more to come. There's more to come. There's a lot more scripture. There's a lot more scripture to keep circling back to this and see what it is and who we are in Christ. So much more scripture to see what our authority is, that we can operate in it. When God wants us to be victors, not victims. The Lord Jesus Christ whooping the enemy, come on, taking it to him. That victory was won on our behalf so that we could operate in victory. That doesn't mean we don't have challenges. Come on, I'm not preaching that. But the challenges have a predictable end when we stay in the fight, when we just don't quit. I'm not quitting on this. The word says this. I'm not quitting. The word says this. You get bombarded with thoughts. Nope, I'm not thinking that garbage. I'm not thinking that garbage. That's not what the word says. The word says this. I'm a winner. Right? Daisy agrees. She knows. She's just starting young, letting it out. God's good. So we'll pick up more next week. But I want to take just a couple of minutes. And I want to say this. And I want to talk just a couple of minutes about the Holy Spirit. Because I think the Holy Spirit's probably the most important topic in the Christian church today. Because Jesus made an absolute critical point of saying, if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And you need him in the earth. Amen? So as a church, as believers, as a church, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we believe in the Trinity. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they are not rank in order. They are one. They work together and function as one. The Holy Spirit is in the earth today, drawing men to Jesus. Did you know that? And he came into the earth in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, this is when he showed up. And it's a significant event because a lot goes on. But you know, when God does something significant, he makes a show of it so that we pay attention. But that doesn't mean that it always happens that way just because that's the first time it showed up. The first time the Holy Spirit showed up, he showed up big, and it was to get our attention. But then he shows us in the book of Acts, he shows up again, and the same results happen, but it's not the same as when he first showed up. Rushing mighty wind, right? They all heard it. Let me read you something. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And look at this, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, at Westside Church, we believe in the book of Acts. We believe the book of Acts is written and still being written today. Did you know we're in the church age? Come on, now, where's your chapter? Where's your chapter? Amen? We're in the book of Acts. And so when he sent the Holy Spirit, one of the first things that happened and showed up was that they got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now, there's a whole lot of Christians and believers that say that that was just for them. And you cannot prove that in Scripture. The book of Acts is for the Christian church today. It's for all of us. And we believe this with everything that's in us. We believe that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. Why would we want this? Because speaking in other tongues, praying in the Spirit, is a spiritual gift that is available to every single believer, where you can pray the perfect will of God regardless of what's going on. Because you get your mind in the way. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? Fix that guy. He is messing up my life. Right? take care of this. And that's not the answer God's working on. He's working on you most of the time. Amen? But when we pray in the Spirit, we can pray the perfect will of God. We believe this. This is for the church today. It is so critical for this hour that you can pray in the Spirit. It is so critical that you pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on now, these are all terms. Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, all the same thing. The Scripture uses it in different areas. So you'll hear me say it in different ways. Praying in the Spirit is praying in other tongues. It's for the church today, all of us. Are you guys listening to me? I'm telling you the truth out of decades of experience. Come on, I'm not making this stuff up. I've been operating and flown in this stuff for a long time. And the people that challenge this are the people that have never prayed in the Holy Ghost. Come on, when you get it, you know this is God. And it's for everyone. Everyone. Kids, teenagers, college age, singles, adults, sunsetters. All of us. Careful, your mother-in-law's over here. Thank you, Lord. It's for all of us, amen? And we've got to be open to what the Word says, because when we see something in the Word and it doesn't jive with our theology, guess who needs to change? Come on, it's us. If we're so prideful, we can't make the change. And if we want to dance around this issue, that's fine. God will let you dance around this, but I'm telling you, if you want to fulfill the perfect will of God in your life and operate the way He intended you to in the authority that He's given you, you've got to be baptized in the Spirit. Amen. Come on, it's listed out. Born again, baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit. And every time we see it in Acts, when they get baptized in the Spirit, something changes. Cornelius' house. These were Greeks. Peter wasn't even supposed to be in their house, and he's preaching them the gospel. And while they heard it, they believed God in their heart, and they got born again, and the Holy Spirit fell, and they heard them speaking in other tongues. And Peter's like, what? I thought this was just for us, the Jews, the special ones. And God said, nope, it's for everybody. The Gentiles got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues, and they magnified God. All of them, his whole household. It doesn't say they left anybody out. He said they heard them all speaking in other tongues and prophesying. Paul came across 12 disciples and said, how have you been baptized? And they said, well, we were baptized in John's baptism. And he goes, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he goes, we don't even know. They said, we don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. And he's like, okay, I got to fix this whole thing right now. Let me straighten you out, right? He fixes them. He says, you got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then you can be baptized in the Spirit. And they said, oh, we didn't know. Let's do that. That sounds great. And guess what? He laid hands on them, and they all got filled with the Holy Spirit, all 12, and they all spoke in other tongues. Come on, he's not withholding this from anybody. You got to dance around Scripture to say it's just for a select few, or it was just for back then. It's for all of us, the whole church. Amen? Amen. This is important. We need this. Come on, when you can pray in the Spirit and pray the perfect will of God, when you just don't know what to do, you just pray in the Holy Ghost. And God's working while your mouth is running, because it's coming out of your spirit from the Holy Spirit into the earth. And it's causing something to change, because your words matter. You remember that series we just did? Your words matter. Amen? So I want to encourage you in this. This is important. Think on it. Stew on it. We've got books in the back called Why Tongues, a little red and white little book. It will tell you why we need more than this. Don't have time today to go into it all. That's a great book. Read it. Pray the prayer at the end. Get filled. You can get filled this morning if you want. We'll lay hands on you. You'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. He's not withholding it from anyone. Not anyone. He wants you to have it more than you want to have it, because he knows what it'll do. And the enemy, I'll tell you right now, the enemy does not want you to be filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues. That's why there's whole denominations that talk against it. Why? Because he can't do anything against that. He can't do anything. It's a weapon we wield. He's like, oh man, here they go again. Find a way to shut them up. Nope. Okay. I thought it was important to just dive right into that again. So you hear it from me. This is what we believe. This is an important part of the body of Christ. Don't let it sit on the sideline. Bring it into your life. See it in Scripture. And we can go through it. You want to go through it? We'll go through it. I'm telling you, that Why Tongues book will tell you a lot. It's just Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. This is why it's here. This is why we need it. This is why we need to flow with it. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray for you.